views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
To you by the Reading Tea Party. You are listening to KCNR 1460 Shasta Reading. If you want to weigh in on our discussions this morning, give us a call at 530-605-4567. If you want to chat or stream live, go to readingteaparty.com. Click on the link radio show. Hey, we're going to get right to it this morning. We have a very full house, and I think we don't want to waste any time with any housekeeping details.
No,
today.
We don't want to dilly-dally, but we do want to let you guys know that we have a two-part program today. The first half will be Michael Prell, as you've seen on your webpage there. He's got all sorts of extra interesting things to share with us today. And then the second half will be Michael and Patty Smith of Patriots Music. And you can see the information on there. So the second half is all music. So in case you were thinking this was a big talking radio show.
Not
it's
always.
Only talking in the first one. First hour, second hour is lots of music. All right, so
great.
Michael, are you in there?
I am here.
Good morning, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, so we have been waiting and watching for Underdogma here. So we need you to tell us about that. But you also work with the Prime Minister of Israel, and that would be extremely timely. So you start wherever you'd like.
And maybe just a tiny brief history on what you do.
There you
sure.
go.
Well, I mean, okay. There's a big connection, a deep connection between the Tea Party movement and Israel. I mean, every Tea Party event that I've been to, and I was just on a speaking tour to Tea Parties in around Palm Desert, Palm Springs, and every meeting began with the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer for Israel. So our people get the importance of standing with Israel. And throughout my life, I've been drawn to different causes, and two of them are Israel. I was in Israel helping Benjamin Netanyahu win his election to become prime minister. I was in his home doing some writing there. But here I felt called a long while ago, to join the Tea Party and help there as well. And because I believe the people in both movements and both callings share a lot in common and share a lot of core beliefs. So that's where the connection is. And this has been a rather eventful week. In fact, on my screen right now, I'm looking at President Obama speaking at AIPAC. And on Tuesday, Benjamin Netanyahu will speak to a joint session of Congress. So it's been a very eventful week on that file.
So what'd you think of the president's speech?
This is family radio.
Yes, it is. Although we're not politically correct.
Yeah, it's... I want to wait and hear what his speech says here, see how much he's climbed back. But it was, I was actually speaking the night before his Thursday speech, and the people in the audience asked me, what do I expect? What do I expect him to say the next day? And I said, truthfully, I expect the worst thing imaginable, because that would be consistent with everything he's done when it comes to Israel. And he did not disappoint on Thursday. In fact, he's calling for... What he was calling for was for Israel to do something that he himself would never do. I mean, let's just take a step back. 1 week ago today was Israel's 63rd birthday. So that's like, you know, the founding of America, the founding of Israel. And instead of celebrating the founding of Israel, all of the countries around Israel call it the Nakba, which is the catastrophe. And then Israel... Last Sunday, 7 days ago, was attacked on four sides. The Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Golan Heights, and the Lebanon border. That's like Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island attacking New York on the 4th of July and calling the founding of America a catastrophe and vowing to throw all of the New Yorkers into the Hudson River and drown them. And the President of the United States is expecting Israel to make a deal with them that is completely indefensible. It shows, at best, naivety, and at worst, something else that I'm not going to say on the radio.
Now, Michael, you're actually a conservative strategist, is that correct?
Yes.
And you've worked with leaders all around the globe.
Yep.
So you've got some pretty serious insight into all of the strategy politically when it comes to countries working together, allies, enemies, the whole nine yards.
Yep, absolutely. I was just up in Canada for their federal election, and we helped a conservative win a majority for the first time in a long time. And Canada's prime minister is probably the best friend in the world that Israel has right now. And also,
yeah,
they
we used to be
America's number one source of oil. You know, so I go and I help conservatives win where it's hard for conservatives to win, whether it's in the Tea Party or in Israel or in Canada. I was in Australia, wherever it's needed.
Well, don't forget California in 2012.
I was there. It was amazing. It was an incredible trip last week because I was in California. And normally when I go to California, I feel like I'm the only conservative in any room I walk into.
Yeah. You haven't been to Northern California.
Far Northern California.
Yeah, come to Northern California. It'd be like old home week.
Well, it was strange because I was there in South California, right around L.A., and every room I walked into was filled with nothing but patriotic Tea Partiers.
It was incredible.
My entire experience there was as if I was not in California. It was a beautiful experience. So there is hope for California.
Yeah, we got hit by the tsunami on the wrong shore, actually, this year. So we're hoping that the tsunami hits us from the other side this next time. We could certainly use it. So we've got a couple minutes here before our first break. Give people a preview on your book.
Sure.
It's a confusing title for people.
Yeah, Under Dogma, which is the word that I sort of created for this belief system that, as you'll see as the show winds on, you're going to see how it affects almost every aspect of our lives and also in many of the issues that shape our world today. And Under Dogma is this. It's the automatic, non-thinking gut reaction that says in any given issue, whichever side has less power, the underdog, is automatically considered righteous simply because they have less power, and whichever side has more power, like America or Israel, is automatically considered wrong simply because they have more power. And it doesn't matter which side's actually right or wrong. This is not a reality-based belief system. All that matters to those who practice under dogma is which side has less or more power. And it shapes everything from the reason why millions of people around the world and all across America automatically take the side of Palestinians. I mean, if you go to any university campus in America, you're going to find two things. You're going to find a coffee shop and a pro-Palestinian solidarity group. And I asked myself, why is that? And I looked deeper and deeper and deeper. Because when you get down to it, the Palestinians that these kids on university campuses are raising their fists to support would kill them if given half the chance. All of the values on university campuses, you know, free love, free speech, women's rights, gay rights, that would get them killed by the very people whose cause they're championing. So I look deeper and deeper and deeper, and we'll get deeper as the show goes on. But the short answer is this. It's a gut reaction to stand up for the little guy, even when the little guy would kill you if given the chance, and to raise a fist and fight the power against the big guy, even when the big guy, like America or Israel, are forces for good in the world.
So if your theory stands, and after 2012, if things don't go the way we hope they will, everybody should start feeling sorry for us pretty soon.
Well, actually, you bring up an interesting point. There's always a gap between when you finish a book and when it's published. So when I finished the book, projections were that America would no longer be the world's number one power by 2027. By the time the book came out, that had been reduced. And 2 weeks ago, now it's projected that America will no longer be the world's number one power by 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see, within your lifetime, not only the biggest shift of power in the history of the world, but actually a shift where America is no longer the overdog.
Yeah, I was reading that in one of your articles, the underdog and the overdog, and I thought, you know, that really is a good characterization.
Yeah, it is.
But Let's take our break just a wee bit early, and we're going to come back and speak more about all these things with Michael Perrell this morning on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Running, the home of Free Fire Media.
Don't something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be.
That pretty much says it all. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. 530-605-4567 is the number to call. Go to readingteaparty.com. Click on the radio show link if you want to chat or stream live. And we're going to jump right back to Michael Prell. We've got him till 9 o'clock. Michael is a conservative strategist, has worked with world leaders, knows Benjamin Netanyahu pretty intimately as an advisor. So that's a very timely issue and a timely subject. But Michael, before we get back to that, a little bit more about your book, Under Dogma.
Yes. Well, we defined it before we went to break as this non-thinking gut reaction to take the side of the little guy. And what I found was, you know, I looked deeper and deeper, and a lot of people will ask me the question, and they say, Michael, isn't it an American trait to stand up for the little guy? And the answer is yes. I mean, America was built on an underdog uprising against a more powerful adversary, the British. But that's different than underdogma. Underdogma says that, you know, once you are the underdog, you're good, but as soon as you become powerful, you become bad. And that's the difference. It has nothing to do with character. It has nothing to do with the wonderful founding principles upon which America was built, those founding principles that actually led to America's superpower status. Underdogma throws it out the window, throws aside all notions of traditional notions of right and wrong. Doesn't matter what actions you take, doesn't matter what your character is. As soon as you cross that threshold and become powerful in the eyes of those who practice underdogma, or more importantly and more accurately, in the guts of those who practice underdogma, once you become the big guy, the powerful guy, the overdog, you're bad simply because you have more power.
So we have somebody on the chat room who wants to know, with all the countries aligning themselves against Israel, can't the case be made for Israel to be the underdog? How can we get the world to see the reality of that?
I'll try to give you the short answer because there's entire chapters on this in the book. But Israel's late foreign minister, Abba Eben, said, and he was there at the founding of Israel, he said, we used to have all the advantages of the underdog, but now we have all the disadvantages of the overdog. You see, what happened in Israel is that, you know, traditionally Jews have been the underdogs of history, chased and rounded up and killed by some of the world's most horrible, murderous tyrants in history. But then something changed. After the founding of Israel, not only did they get a country, but then they proved themselves to be very strong fighters, stronger than anyone expected. And it fundamentally changed the way Israeli Jews thought of themselves. Now if you go to Israel, there's this great pride in the country about how strong they are. You know, if you go to their local t-shirt shops, there's t-shirts where you can get, you know, where it has a picture of America and saying, America, don't worry, Israel's got your back. And that's the fundamental change that happened when Israel became strong. And now they've got a fearsome, well-equipped army, potentially nuclear weapons, although nobody will say either way. They are strong, 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 and that was the fundamental change that tipped the scales and made people gang up on Israel. And if you look at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, that to me, and there's a whole chapter on this in Underdogma, it's ground zero for Underdogma, where there's a great difference between a power powerful group and a non-powerful group of Palestinians. And you'll see over and over and over in the book how people will consistently take the side of Palestinians. And it's not just, you know, university campus kids, and it's not just the President of the United States, although that's horrific, but it's millions of people around the world. It actually brings together the late Osama bin Laden, Noam Chomsky, some, you know, religious leaders, university campuses, but also the entire United Nations and most nations around the world in common cause to stand up for Palestinians who actually don't share their beliefs in any way. So it's a powerful belief system that has the power to override your traditional notions of right and wrong and just make you choose sides on whichever side is less or more power.
Well, I think that with all the things after 9/11 and all of our airport security and all that, I think the one country you hear the most about is Israel. And although they process fewer passengers through their airports, we process more. They have been very, very successful with their security measures and their profiling and this, that, and the other. So, you know, in the sense of who is large and in charge, they come up repeatedly. And so, yeah, I guess that would lead to the over-under conflict again. The Palestinians, though, I mean, you probably get the same emails we all do. And periodically, you get the one that comes through that shows all the little Palestinian kids little kids, 5, 6 years old, with guns, wearing fatigues, being trained. But typically the pictures that are in the mainstream media are, you know, oh, Israel bombed them again. Oh, look at these poor people.
Yeah, and it's critically important to maintain the facade of this power have not, underdog, overdog thing, that you not ever see those images or learn the truth about these very people, these underdogs, these Palestinian underdogs that people keep championing. You know, there's a great deal of effort, either subconsciously or consciously, to withhold the facts about exactly who these underdogs are. I mean, let me ask you a question. Have you heard of the Fogel family?
No.
And most people haven't, because it actually wasn't reported much in the United States. It was a brief, brief blip. And let me ask you a question. While I tell you this story, ask yourself, if the perpetrators of this crime were Israeli against Palestinians, would you have heard about it by now? About 3 or 4 weeks ago, some Palestinians snuck into the family of an Israeli the home of an Israeli family, and slaughtered the family while they were sleeping, babies in their sleep, slit their throats, killed the father, killed the daughter, killed the baby, killed the toddler, then came back and killed another child they missed, slit their throats, and then, in the Palestinian territory, they celebrated by dancing in the streets and handing out candy. Now, if you had heard that, and if you had, like, first of all, you didn't hear that, right?
Right.
Because that would put a crack in the facade, this fake facade that they are noble and virtuous underdogs. But just imagine if Israelis had done that. Right? That would be the
ultimate
on planet Earth for a month. So, and there's another example in the book Underdog that I give. I take two situations that are fairly similar, and I ask the question, you know, do you think that the killing of an innocent woman is wrong? And the answer is, of course. So then I give you two examples of two innocent women who were killed. The first one was killed by a suicide bomber in a mall in Israel, and she was killed by Palestinian suicide bombers. And the other one was killed by accident while IDF soldiers were trying to hunt down a terrorist, and she was collateral damage. She got hit by accident. Now, both are wrong. Killing an innocent woman is wrong. But are they equally wrong? And let's look at the character that's revealed in these two actions. So when the Israeli woman was killed by a suicide bomb in a shopping mall while shopping for candies, she was killed intentionally. And then the Palestinians celebrated what went right. And then many Palestinian families fought amongst each other over who got to claim credit for raising the martyr who committed this, quote, heroic act. On the other side, when the Israelis accidentally killed someone, they apologized for what went wrong, and they investigated it and did everything they could to make sure it never happened again. Now, there's a fundamental difference between the two. And that you don't hear about that in the media. You don't hear any of that. All you hear is about these terrible Israelis doing bad things to these poor underdogs. And that's the blinding factor of underdogma.
Now, Michael, you talk about college campuses and the misconceptions that the youth have about the Palestinians and how they step in and support them. And obviously, mainstream media is a disaster when it comes to telling the truth. So what about the Internet? You know, the Internet seems to put out information that you can't get any other way, and nobody is more adept at using the Internet than the youth. So where's the disconnect there in them getting the truth?
Well, most people, you see, my job is to, you know, communicate to large groups of people, you know, nations, an entire nation worth of voters. And there's a large majority of people that think, honestly, and they have every right to think this, that when they turn on the news, what they're seeing is the news. That is reality. You know, most people are busy living their lives. I know the Tea Partiers are a lot more active in gathering their information because they know going in that their story is not going to get told by the mainstream media. So they have to go out and they have to learn and they have to seek and they have to read books and, you know, go beyond. But the vast majority of people think that when something is in the news, it's the news. They have actually every right to believe that because it's a protected industry in the Constitution. So for the vast majority of people, whatever happens to be in the mainstream media, that's not just the news, but that's the truth of the world as they know it. Now, you're getting to a very critical point. I have very little patience for people who don't have the discipline or the initiative to type a few words into Google and learn about the world themselves, right? When I grew up, we didn't have the Internet. And I can understand perhaps not knowing the truth about the world before Google, but right now, if you want to know the truth about anything...
Mm-hmm. There's really no excuse.
There's no excuse. It's just laziness. So that's my short answer, because mm-hmm. the truth is out there. It's not being, you know, it's not being pushed out through the mainstream media, and that's where the most people live. They just see what comes through the screen, you know, because they're busy. They got things to do. They got lives to lead, families to raise, work, you know, jobs to do. So unless, you know, until we fix that, there's always going to be this broad perception, which is shaped by a very few who have an agenda, and that, you'll see in the book, has a lot to do with underdogma.
Sure, because you can DVR news programs and watch them, and you know exactly how long they're going to last. But boy, when you get into the Internet, I mean, we all know, you could lose days.
It's like peeling an onion.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to take another break real quick here, and we're going to come back. We have Charles, who's been on hold listening to us for 5 minutes, wondering if we forgot about him. We didn't, Charles. We're coming back to you. So take a deep breath. You get 2 minutes to grab some coffee or whatever. We'll be right back with you. We're speaking with Michael Prell, the author of Underdogma, here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Let them kick your neighbor off his land. But this is where we gotta make a stand. The stewards of this land are mom and pop. The government couldn't run a soda shop. I said freedom, freedom. Watch it slipping away. I said freedom, freedom. A little bit more each day.
Okay, and on that note, that is Michael Smith.
Sneak
preview. He's one of our Tea Party Patriots from Corning, and he's with Patriot Music. He's actually in the studio this morning with us. We've got a pair of earphones on like the rest of us. He'll be up on the second hour. So you're listening to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. I think you know all the contact info and how to chat and stream. So we'd like to get back to Michael Prell, author of Underdogma. And Michael, before we bring Charles on, very quickly, in case we forget, can you just kind of plug all your contact information, website information, where to find the book, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. Well, if you want to go to under-dogma.com, that's UNDER-dogma.com, or just Google the word underdogma, it'll probably be the first 10 results. And if you go to my website, right there on the main page, you click on the big star, and you can download a big chunk of the book right now for free. You know, I'm not like most authors who give you a couple pages or whatever. I give you a big part of the book that you can actually use to, and the reason why I wrote this book is to give you the tools that you need to defend American exceptionalism and American power with your friends, and that's what this does. So just go to under-dogma.com and download the free chapter, and that's going to get you started, and that'll fill your heart and also fill you with the weapons and arsenal you need to go out and fight the battles that we must fight.
Great. So everybody who's listening to that information, it will be on our website. Actually, it already is. Robert is on it this morning, as he usually is every Sunday morning, so you can get that information instantaneously. So we've got Charles on the line. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
You have a question for Michael?
It's about something definitely would not have heard about in the mainstream or, should I say, drive-by press, and that is that there's a bill in Congress that would Europeanize our patent system by converting us away from first-to-invent to a first-to-file system. It's called H.R. 1249. I had to go digging around to find information on that, and what it would. And if we go over to first-to-file, we would, first of all, have a patent system like Western Europe, number one. Number two, it would encourage industrial espionage because the first person to grab someone else's idea and stamp their name on an application, that's the person who is awarded the patent. Whereas under first to invent, the inventor has an opportunity to contest the application of somebody who might have stolen his idea. And there's all sorts of implications for, you know, where big companies can steal small inventors' ideas, or where an employee of a large company can steal an idea from that large company just to sabotage it for various reasons. And I'd like to know what he thinks of what's going on right now in Congress.
Thanks for the question. What do you think, Michael?
Sure thing. I had a hard time hearing it, but I'm pretty sure it was about patent laws becoming more Europeanized. So I don't get into that specifically in the book, but I'll show you what's sort of behind this push. A lot of people have this resentment for big companies. They say, well, why should they have so much money? And one of the biggest areas, and that's pure underdog, and there's a whole chapter on this about, you know, the little guy worker versus the big guy boss and big rich fat cats, quote. And we even hear the President of the United States calling America's biggest, most successful companies, which, by the way, used to be called the American Dream. Now the President of the United States himself singles them out and berates them for being rich fat cats. So there's a huge shift in America. They just hate people who've achieved success in the American Dream. And one area where you see this most often is in pharma companies with the patents. You know, there are millions of people out there who believe, you know, you big, bad pharma companies, you know, don't you think you've made enough money? We know we need your patents to expire so we can have generics. And where that comes from is just, you know, is this desire to take down the big guy. Why should they have so much money? Well, because they made something that saved your life, and it's worth money. And they should become rich because they saved your life. Be happy. You know, being number one, reaching the top, becoming huge and successful actually used to be called the American Dream, and now we see it berated constantly in America, where people want to just drag down and actually demonize those who've achieved the American Dream. And it's one thing for, you know, European socialists to think that, or America's enemies, but now when the administration itself and the President of the United States teaches kids nowadays growing up that if you work hard and play by the rules and achieve success and become number one, you will be demonized by the President of the United States on 60 Minutes and called a rich fat cat.
It's like the oil companies, you know, they haul them in front of Congress.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not allowed to make a profit when there are tons of enterprises who are making way higher profits than the oil companies.
Well, I make the point in the book that in the very year, you know, in the very year where the head of Exxon was hauled before Congress to explain why he makes so much money, Oprah Winfrey made five times as much. So why wasn't she
exactly? Yeah, why wasn't she required?
Make a product that fuels the ambulance that's going to drive you to the hospital if you get sick, or a plane that flies you to and from your home. Like, that is, the oil companies make something that we actually use and need every day. And yet these guys are painted as big, rich fat cats and hauled before Congress to explain their salaries to them. And then I go even deeper in the book, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but the very people who are hauling these people before them are fabulously wealthy themselves, and there's actually a bigger gap between the average congressman and the average person they represent than there is between an oil baron and the people who work for
him. And, you know, it's kind of funny because those people that demonize the oil companies, if that day ever comes where all of the products that are made from oil are no longer available, it's going to come back and bite them.
Yeah, and, you know, while you're demonizing your homegrown American oil companies, why don't you make some time in your day for demonizing the bad people who actually want to kill you who also make oil?
Well, because then that gets in conflict with our underdogma issue there in the Middle East.
Yep.
Because
they believe,
you know,
America can do no right, even when they do right. You know,
that's
everybody
right.
Everybody who's overseas is automatically de facto good.
Well, and you know, we haven't even gotten into the whole Islam deal, which is a huge recipient of underdogma these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult to get into this on the radio, but I'll give you the short answer. There's a whole chapter in the book called Why Our Enemies Don't Practice Underdogma. So let me just give you just a brief introduction here, because you should really all read the chapter. This is critical, really, to the future of the country. It's a fundamentally different view of power that Islamists have compared to underdogmatists. Now, when Osama bin Laden was alive, he described the Islamist world's view of power like this, quote, "When people see the strong horse and the weak horse, by nature they will like the strong horse." And that strong horse view of power is dominant in the Islamist world. And there's another ancient Arab proverb that says, quote, "A falling camel attracts many knives." Right? They don't bow down and apologize for power. They want to take power, and they view any sign of weakness as a signal to attack. And this strong horse view of power that the ascendant Islamist world has is precisely the opposite of underdogma. You know, one of my favorite writers is Mark Stein. And he writes about America's demographic disadvantage to its enemies. They're having more kids and we're having less. Well, in underdogma, I show you how America is putting itself at a philosophical disadvantage to its enemies by championing the weak horse and demonizing the strong horse. And that's precisely why I wrote Underdogma, to lift the veil on this corrosive and frankly suicidal belief system that's eating away at our desire to be number one, and to give all of your listeners the tools that they need to defend and promote American exceptionalism.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, you know, before we go to break, just very quickly, one of the things that we always ask our guests on this show who are experts in their field and who are all fighting for American freedom, the thing we ask them is, tell your listeners out there what they can do on an individual level or at even a local level to try to make a difference. What would your advice be?
I wrote the book to be a useful guide. There's a lot of people who write books who just want to, you know, complain about a problem. Well, in this book, I show the problem thoroughly, because I guarantee all of you listening right now, if you think you're immune from this, right, if you think you're all about American exceptionalism and you don't get sucked into this stuff, this underdogma, think again. Because I guarantee you, when you read the book, you're going to find parts of it that have seeped inside of you and you don't even know it's there. So the first part of the book is really designed to help people identify it within themselves. And I do that through a series of stories and examples and studies. And once you see it within yourself, you can rip it out of yourself. And then my request is that you take the book and you share it with three people, because we've all got, you know, at least three people in our lives who always have at the tip of their tongue some criticism of America. They're very quick to point out those two or three things in America's past that are just bad, 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 and that's all they talk about. So those people are actually reachable through this book, and the last part of the book actually tells you how to communicate with them and gives you the fact-based reasons why America is exceptional and why defending and promoting American exceptionalism is good, not just for America, but for the world. So it's not just one of those complainer books. I identify the problem, I help you pull it out of yourself, because I guarantee you that there's still part of it within you right now, no matter who you are. It was inside of me as a young man. And then once you pulled it out of yourself, you can actually convert two people, and you'd all make me happy if you just bought one copy and shared it with 10 friends.
And since
you,
that's a perfect segue into the fact that we are selling your books at our Monday night tea party meetings at 2570 South Bonneview Road in Reading. So if you're out there listening and you want an easy copy of the book, swing by any Monday night, 6 o'clock. We'll have them there for sale.
Sounds great. And also, just a quick note, I give all of my royalties, my author royalties, to the Tea Party movement, so this is why I'm doing this.
Thank you. That's fantastic. How fun is that? You're getting big thumbs up. You're getting big thumbs up from the people here in the studio. Oh, man, that's awesome. Let's we have kind of a little natural break here. Let's take our break a little bit early, and we're going to come back and run you all the way to the end of the hour here with Michael Prell, the author of Under Dogma. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
You enjoy our music. Bill and Aaron spend a lot of time on that. We have a point to make with every song, and I hope you're getting them. We need a hero. Hey, so welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. You know all the information. You know how to call in, chat, and stream, so I won't bore you with those details. We're going to get right back to Michael Prell. We've got a little shy of 15 minutes left. And, Michael, we were talking a little bit on the break about Netanyahu and the fact that he's really been challenged in the last couple of years. He seems to have a significant spine. We'd kind of like some intel on his view of the United States since the U.S. has dumped him as an ally. Comments that you might be hearing from other world leaders about this situation. You know, kind of an overall picture of what you might see ahead for Israel and
America from the outside, yeah, looking from the outside in.
Yeah, and your comments about Netanyahu.
Well, it's sorry about that. I haven't spoke to him or his people since Thursday, when a lot of things changed. I'm going to see them on this coming Wednesday, so I'm interested in hearing what their thoughts are after the most recent events. I'd also like to watch Obama's speech and hear if he climbed down from one all-important thing, because as bad as what happened on Thursday is, there's another terrible shoe that could drop as early as September, and that is a unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state over the objections of Israel through the United Nations. And if President Obama lets that happen, that would be terrible. So a lot of this depends, you know, the way he looks at it, the way Prime Minister Netanyahu looks at things. They're all fact-based. They're based on the facts on the ground. And he's a strong and, you know, he's a strong voice for what's right and seeing things clearly. So if none of you are listening right now have ever seen or heard a speech from Prime Minister Netanyahu, definitely check it out on Tuesday. You're going to see a speech to the joint session of Congress. And this man is one of the greatest orators of our time. And he's actually the reason why I started writing Under Dogma, because years ago he was prime minister at one point, and then he wasn't, and then I helped him win again back in 2009. But back when he wasn't prime minister, the reason why I started writing Under Dogma was because of something that happened to him. He came to North America to speak at a university campus in a very multicultural, so-called tolerant city, and he was shut down by rioters, students, who spat on Jews, clashed with police, threw pennies at so-called money-grubbing Jews, and stopped a free man from engaging in free speech on what should have been a bastion of free speech, a university campus. And that, to me, just sort of cracked apart the fabric of the world that I thought I knew, and I had to know what's going on here. You know, are these kids, these so-called multicultural tolerant kids, are they the same as, you know, the classic anti-Semites from Europe in the 1930s? Or is something else going on here? And I look deeper and deeper, and literally, I can say this with all truth, Benjamin Netanyahu is the reason why I put pen to paper on this, to figure out what this underdogma is. And what I came to the conclusion was, these kids are not traditional anti-Semites. They are just reflexively taking the side of the little guy and raising a fist against the big guy. And in the case that is most compelling to most kids nowadays, that underdog-overdog axis is in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
And it's, you know, it's funny, I don't think most of the people who oppose Israel, they don't do it based on fact, they do it based on the under-overdog theory. But the thing that's interesting is they don't see themselves as anti-Semites, they see that as transcending, it's just political, it's got nothing to do with anything else. But it's kind of funny, it all comes down to the same thing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it actually doesn't matter, because it's achieving probably the same thing faster. The people that they're standing up for are calling for an end to the Jewish people in the Israeli state. If you're standing up for people who want that, it's actually no different than standing up for another historical figure who wanted to end the Jews. You know, and it's, I know that they're not thinking the same way, and I know that they themselves don't actually want to end the Jewish people, but I've heard some horrific things, and there's actually some, if you go to my website, under-dogma.com, there's some of the most horrific protest signs that you'll ever see in America, on American soil. The most bizarre things that you'll see in protesting against Israel, where you take these people take the Israeli flag and put the swastika in it. And these are Americans, openly in America, and they don't see how horrific that is. And it's just this gut reaction. They think that because Israel is big against the little Palestinians, that therefore the big is capable of the most evil, awful, terrible things imaginable. And that's just not true. And I can guarantee you that most of these people, most people I've spoken to, are just rabidly pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel. They've never been there. Right? I've spent months there, and what you're going to see in Israel, which is strange to people here, is that they're not as harshly divided as the people are over here. Like over there, they've got to live with each other. They've got to get along. They have no choice. And the most radical people that I've ever seen on this issue have been over here in America.
It's interesting because I saw an interview with the mayor of Jerusalem last week. I think it was on Glenn Beck, and he said, you know, really between the Israelis and the Palestinians and everybody over there, they want to see Jerusalem under Israel's control, because they're much, much more tolerant, and it's a much freer city, and people are allowed to all coexist. But if the Palestinians take it over, pretty much everybody can kiss it off.
The best friend that Palestinian Arabs have is Israel. They give them jobs. They take care of them. They feed them. They clothe them. They let them have free hospital care. And this is not me talking. It's them. I mean, let's just take one of the starkest example in the book is the plight of gay people in the Middle East. There's only one nation in the Middle East that actually doesn't persecute gay people. In fact, they protect their rights and they welcome them in. So if you're a Palestinian and you're gay, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be rounded up and killed and tortured by your own people because you're gay. And the only place to escape to is Israel, because they will protect you, and they do protect Palestinian gays and lesbians. But here's the double irony, is that there's all kinds of American groups, like I can't even say the first word, but gays for Palestine, but it's a different word for gay. They're from America, and they just protest against Israel and say Israel is evil, evil, evil. What they don't realize is that if they had their little protest in the very territory, the people that they're defending, they would be killed. and the only people who would defend them are the people they're protesting against. And that's a deep part of the book that shows the power of underdogment. It caused people to even bypass their desire, their ingrained instinct to survive. They will stand up for the underdog, even when the underdog would kill them.
So they'll walk right into that buzzsaw.
Absolutely.
Well, we see the same thing. We've had several guests on regarding the issue of Islam. Same deal. I mean, if you're atheist, gay, lesbian, all those things, their mission is to kill you. I mean, even Christians and Jews get to live. We get to be slaves. Woohoo! But the other guys get killed. And typically, the people who support or who profess to support those lifestyles, those are the ones who support the people that would kill them. It's completely nonsensical.
And if you don't believe, by the way, if you're listening right now and you don't believe what we're saying, go to my website. There's pictures under dogma.com of Americans in America holding up signs that say, "Long live Fallujah." Another person holding up a sign saying, "I love New York, better without the World Trade Centers." Right? This is absolute psychosis, and no one has an explanation for it until this book came out, Under Dogma, because if these people thought for a second, they'd realize that their freedom to hold up that sign is protected by the very country they hate, and if the people who they're holding up that sign to champion were in charge, they would be the first ones rounded up and killed. Because here's the thing, what they don't get is this strong horse view of power in the Islamist world. What these kid protesters don't get, and everyone who practices under dogma doesn't get, is that the way I'm talking right now, very critical, strong, against the bad people actually respect the way I'm talking more than they respect the people who stand up for them. So the guy holding up the "Long Live Fallujah" sign, okay, the bad people will actually crawl past me to kill him first, because by being an American and standing up for the bad people don't view that as saying, "Oh, thank you so much for standing up for us." They view that as the sign of the weak horse, the fallen camel that attracts many knives, and they will attack him first. They will be the first lined up against the wall, and that's what underdogmatists need to understand, is when you travel the world and bow down and apologize for America's power, it doesn't make them love you more. It makes them want to kill you first.
Isn't that ironic? And how sad that they can't see that.
Well, the degree to which they can't see it is because this is not being talked about with any great deal of clarity. And that's why I wrote this book, because it's not just, "Hey, I want to have a book out there." This is ball game, right? The future of the world is being decided within the lifetime of everyone listening right now. Within 5 years, America, the superpower, the big, evil, number one power, the overdog, might very well no longer be the number one overdog power in the world within your lifetime. You're listening right now, and this is not like the transition between the superpower of Britain and the superpower of America, right? This is a transition between America, the superpower, and another nation, Communist China, that does not share our values. This is a fundamental shift of power, and you're all going to live through this unless we stop bowing down and apologizing for America's power. We embrace this power and embrace the idea that America being number one is not just good for America, it's actually good for the world, because the way the world is right now, the reason why it is the way it is because the number one power in the world is not just a great nation, it is a good nation. And believe me, within your lifetime, within 5 years, that could change entirely, so that the number one power in the world just happens to be the world's biggest executioner, the world's biggest internet censor, the world's biggest jailer of innocent people, and the world's biggest polluter. So stand up for America's power now, American exceptionalism. I show you exactly how to in the book, but please do it quickly.
Are you are you sharing with these leaders around the world that we could really use their help as we head into this 2012 election?
That's part of what we're going to be talking about this week.
I know that's kind of dicey for them, but You know, right now, It's just the doublespeak coming out of this country is so overwhelming that many people are still thinking that that this guy is doing the right thing.
The good news is we have something called the Tea Party movement, right? The Tea Party movement is not just a bunch of people with some kind of beliefs that they believe. It just happens that the core beliefs of the Tea Party movement happen to be the same core beliefs of America. They are one and the same. And those core beliefs are what gave rise to America's power and America's greatness. So as Tea Partiers, please maintain your intensity and your desire and your passion moving forward, because this election is ball game. Because right after this election, we will either become the world's most recent fallen power or the world's superpower moving forward, because we embrace our power. And we all have a role to play in the next election, more so than other nations do.
True story.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for being with us, Michael Perrell. We would love to hear back
week.
From you after your trip to Israel.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You have been listening to Michael Perrell, the author of Underdogma on We the People Radio. Listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. If you just woke up, grabbed your coffee, and you're tuning in, the number to call in is 530-605-4567. If you want to chat or stream live, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show link, and everything you need to know is right there. We've got the profile on our guests today, as well as all the archived shows from the past, as well as information about our sponsors.
Our past goes back to October of 2010.
Yeah, we haven't had a year yet.
We don't have the whole past, but we did make it beyond the end of the world. So,
yes.
You know, that's our claim to fame today. We've survived beyond the end of the world.
But I was thinking the other day, we have not actually sat through a summer in this studio. It gets a little toasty sometimes, so we'll see how that goes.
It is toasty in here. So we're here with Michael Smith from Patriots Music.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, you guys.
I love Mike's music because it's got a little 70s rock and roll in it.
Yes, it does.
I just love it.
I love Elizabeth because she's my fan.
I am. I'm president of the fan
it's
club.
It's a love fest. Okay, so this morning we have a rigorous schedule you have set forth for us with music from the era we're in. I don't know how to describe
and
it.
And isn't there, you said that there's a movement taking place right now with conservative patriotic music.
Yeah, before this show's over, you guys are going to hear at least 9 different artists, pieces of, and we're really, it's just we the people out there. It's all kinds of ordinary people coming up with the most awesome stuff. My site is patriotsmusic.com, and I did it just as an attempt to get into the battle. And originally, my main intent was years ago to wake the people up. Let's wake them up. So I started writing these songs. You know, hey, education's got a problem. Hey, global warming's not real. You know, hey.
What? Look. Global warming's not real?
No.
But climate change is.
So I wrote that stuff and mostly for wake up, and now it's like, boy, America's awake, I have so many friends out there working and writing and blogging and singing.
And that's such a great way to reach people.
So now we're just like cheerleaders, and we say, rah, rah, sis, boom, bom, go, America.
Without the clapping and jumping, thank goodness.
Well. And sometimes we jump.
And the skirts? What about the skirts?
Yeah.
It's without the skirts, I hope.
And for those of you that tune in regularly, we do feature Mike's music a lot.
We do.
So you're hearing it all the time.
And you can see all this coalesce on a website, www.bigdogmusicmafia.com, and dog is D-A-W-G. So bigdogmusicmafia.com is where all these guys are featured. Mike is specifically on patriotsmusic.com, and all this stuff's on the webpage, so go on there, click on it. And
no excuse for not finding everything you need to know on our website.
Exactly. Okay, so what's the gist? How did you hook up with the folks that we're going to talk to today? How did you connect with them?
Okay, well, I started my website, and I started inviting them on to showcase, and we still have some people that we showcase on our site that haven't quite made it to Big Dog yet. You guys, you better get there. Billy Elson, Ava Aston, she's really cool. Jeremy Hoop, Rise Up. He's showcased on Patriots Music, and that song "Rise Up." I mean, if you listen to that song, it just shivers up and down the back, and it's really. We have Krista Branch, and she has some really cool music. Rebecca Hendricks, and okay, so that's Patriots Music, and Big Dog kind of took it a step further and made it really interactive, and now we have like 400 plus members, and all these people from all across the nation are like working hard and putting it on Big Dog, and we're supporting each other, and that's pretty much the bottom line. We're all just working for America, and the websites are helping us quite a bit.
Sure. So the music's getting out there, and then you guys go play at, you know, whatever rallies and things that you live near as often as you can, right? Mm-hmm.
All these people, if you call them, they'll go entertain for you.
And cool. So if somebody's having an event or something, BigDogMusicMafia.com would be a good place to go. And
absolutely.
And pitch to have somebody come and play at your event.
Now, do we have any of your CDs for sale at our Monday night tea party meetings?
No, we haven't.
What the heck?
I know. I'm so remiss.
Because, you know, our folks buy everything.
And they come with their wallet.
They come every Monday night with their wallets open. They do.
We will. We'll get some to you guys. And of course, you know, I'll show up again and play a song every now and then. I love the Reading Tea Party guys. You guys are just passionate and go-getters.
We've got all these little sister groups all over the place. So yeah, the Corning guys have their own private entertainment. Group. So
cool is that?
Yeah, we piggyback on you a lot. Okay, so according to our rigorous schedule here at 9:10, we have a song, The Last Line of Defense,
and that is you, Mike.
So here's Mike Smith. Enjoy.
Written for us Patriots.
Us up, we'll just keep on fighting, and we'll be here when your day is done. Ain't putting up with your corruption, ain't handing out no second chance. You're gonna try, but you will not stop us. We are the last line of defense. We are the last line of defense. With the IRS, that cruel collection agency, the EPA is in the way of our humanity. Your union has gone too far, sold out the little man. You pledge allegiance to your power, grab all of it that you can. We're taking back this nation, fully armed with common sense, where each person has their own station. It's in the last line of defense. They are the last line of defense.
Got a little ring of the surfer in there.
Yeah, it does. Hey, so we do have those at the tea party meetings on Monday nights.
Yes, we were chastised. We don't know what's on our table.
Mike's CDs are only $10, folks. No excuse not to buy one. So you tell me that is not the perfect music to play in your car when you're doing your drive across America road trip. Are you kidding?
Wait a minute, who's driving across America on a road trip? Are we going?
Yeah, can I go?
I don't care who goes. You need one of these CDs.
I was going to go, but then the end of the world came, and I was afraid.
She sold her car.
I was afraid to be too far from home. Okay, so what made you think of that?
That song?
That song was it mostly just to inspire all of us, to let us all know that we are individually the last line of defense in whatever capacity that you have, that we have, as if you're a writer, if you're a number cruncher, you know, if you're a space technician, you have something to offer, you know. So in your capacity, you are one of the last line of defense. So just mostly it's just to try to inspire people to take what they got and get in the fight, because things are looking kind of rugged for us here for America.
Yeah, and just in case they weren't sure, we got it confirmed last hour, so.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you had any
so
doubts.
This is a pretty good follow-up, actually.
And wasn't that an awesome interview?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bottom line is, as we head into especially 2012, it really doesn't matter if people can't spend every waking hour helping the Tea Party or something like that. Everybody can do something,
yeah.
And everybody involves other voters. Yeah. Everybody involves and impacts other voters, mm-hmm, at some level.
And I think you'll find that there are many, many people working really hard right now, and God bless them.
Yeah. So we're just about to go up on a break.
We are. So we'll do that swiftly. Be back to you in 2 minutes with Michael Smith and the rest of his pals from BigDogMusicMafia.com. Go to RatingTeaParty.com and log in so you can read about all these folks if you haven't done that already. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM. Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, second hour. All music and fun and great artists. Hey, I wanted to make a comment about when we went out on our break, we were talking about how everyone can do some little tiny thing to support their country. And what came to mind for me was the memorial service for the young man killed in Afghanistan last week from Reading. And I got along with my neighbors, and we stood out on our road as the procession drove by, and we all had flags. And I remember thinking as I was standing there holding that flag as the 150-car procession drove by on their way to the Igo Cemetery, that if that's all I did, that made a difference, because I can't even imagine how that family must have felt, seeing people all over town standing up with their right hand over their heart and holding a flag. So if that's all you ever do, folks, that's enough. All right. I got off my soapbox.
Good deal, because we have Lisa May on the horn with us. And
good morning,
we just heard
Lisa.
A clip of her music. Tell us all about her, Mike. Bring her in.
Hi, Lisa. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, awesome.
Miracle of technology.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let me tell the folks who you are, and of course I'm impressed. I hope they will be too, but quite the lady. Retired Air Force Senior Master Sergeant. Is it 20 years service, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, and right now you're a systems engineer for Department of Defense, and you've been working on this stuff since about 2008, and you're out in, is it Stafford, Virginia, or Maryland, or where are you, Lisa?
It's in Virginia, near Quantico Marine Corps Base.
Okay. Well, could you just give us a little brief idea of how this thing happened, why you went ahead on Big Dog Music Mafia?
Well, sure. In the 2008 elections, my song made Big Dog, and I decided to write a unofficial campaign song, a McCain-Palin campaign song. I was not a huge McCain fan, but Palin definitely got my attention. And so we wrote a song called Change You Won't Regret. And, we got a lot of positive feedback on the McCain Space website. And, of course, the election didn't turn out the way we had hoped. And we were all a little bit depressed after that for a while, until the Tax Day Tea Party started springing up and plans were being made for that. And I decided to write a song called A Revolution's Brewing, and Drew, a.k.a. Big Dog, and I wrote the song, and we got our 6-year-old, my 6-year-old son, to recite the preamble to the Constitution at the beginning of the song. And ever since we performed that at the Free Republic Live, or at the convention, the night of the big 9/12 event in D.C., it's just been crazy. We've come across so many great conservative artists, and we decided we needed a place where we could all collaborate, share our, you know, our gifts, and help make the movement a much bigger thing. So that was the intent of starting the social networking site, so we could pool our talents together, grow the movement, because pop culture is the influencer in society. It really is. And the way we're going to get to our youth is not through Fox News, not through Rush Limbaugh, who I love to death, but it's going to be through pop culture. It's going to be through TV, through music. And so we're hoping to attract some younger musicians. You know, most of us are the folks that, you know, we've been around a little while, and we're hoping to attract some younger voters and younger musicians to our site.
Now, were you in the music business before? I mean, you obviously were in the military.
I music's always been a part of my life. When I was in the military, I sang in different military bands. I traveled around the world with the Air Force Tops and Blue. I got a great opportunity to do that. But I really, music kind of took a back seat to my military career, and it wasn't until this whole 2008 election that I decided it was time to dust off the guitar and start writing some songs.
You know, that last election sure inspired a lot of people to do a lot of things that they never thought
sure
they would.
It woke us up.
Yeah,
you know,
it did.
I hate to say it, but Obama was the best thing that could have happened to us.
Absolutely.
We were already on a slow decline into socialism, and he just kind of ramped things up and woke everybody up.
Well, I'm a member on the site, and I got to tell you, Lisa, it's working. It's really, it's bringing people in and getting them out there, and we're networking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And attending CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, was probably the best thing that we could have done, because from there I made the connection with John Nolte, the editor-in-chief at Big Hollywood. He loved what we're doing, and he invited me to be a contributing writer there. So now every week we spotlight a different artist. We're trying to expose these great conservative artists to the public, and our name's getting out there.
Yeah, so you are.
We're very blessed to have these opportunities.
That's fantastic. Well, ReadingTeaParty.com is going to find a feature spot. I'm going to figure out how to get you guys on the page so that people can link there easier. But for the time being, they can find you on the radio page. And we have a song of yours here all queued up. Let's see, it's called Not For Sale. You want to tell us, give us a little preview, or you want to just play it?
Well, yeah, I went to the Code Red rally, the Take Back, I forget the name of it. It was the Code Red rally the day before the health care bill was rammed down our throats.
Mm.
And this song was kind of my answer to Obamacare.
Nice. Okay, here it comes.
When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Can anybody tell me when it was this bad? Congress just ignores us and has got us fighting mad. Like thieves in the night, they voted on a bill. Not a single one of them. Illegal and bribery is a crime. So how can Congress get away with buying votes on a dime? The president's been gloating, declaring victory, high-fiving in the Senate as they steal our liberty. Oh, no, you don't. You tax the hard-earned money to buy the votes you need. Cash for cloture so votes are guaranteed. Ignoring your constituents. Now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale. The Constitution doesn't give Congress power to rule. We shouldn't fear government, tyranny's for fools. Amendment 1, Section 8 says healthcare's not the best. To regulate, it's where you know you shouldn't tread. Nah, you shouldn't tread there. You left us with no choice. It's time for us to act. You're stealing our future. Our freedom's under attack. Americans, unite. to win.
What was well, oh, y'all.
You tax the hard-earned money to buy the votes you need. Cash for cloture, so votes are guaranteed. Ignoring your constituents, now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale.
Oh, my. Lisa, could you, like, really just say it like you mean it or think?
Yeah, tell us what you really think,
yeah,
Lisa.
Yeah, we're confused. What were you trying to tell people?
That's awesome.
That's funny. Lori on the chat room says she's dancing around the kitchen.
Folks, you got to check out Big Dog website. It is amazing. So, Lisa, you and Joe Dan and Chris Ross, you guys are all co-founders of this website. I mean,
well, actually,
it was you.
Big Dog and I co-founded the website.
Okay.
It was a vision the two of us had. We started it back in August of last year, and along the way, we met Joe Dan and Chris Ross and Toot Sweet, and you know, we had already met Michael, and he was one of our first members to join because he had started spotlighting us on his site, which was, you know, a wonderful thing that he was doing. And yes, there are folks on his site that have not yet joined us. We've extended the invite for whatever reason they've chosen not to. But Jeremy Hoop actually has joined us, and we'll be featuring him in the coming weeks on the Big Hollywood Spotlight piece that I'm doing. So it's all good.
That'll be great. Can't wait to read about that.
Oh, we'll be doing one on you too, Michael. So you got to get your bio all put together for me too. So
you know, better be nice, Lisa.
The idea is to let people know that we've got every genre from hip hop to jazz to bluegrass to heavy metal. I mean, we've got every genre covered on that site. We even have Celtic music.
Nice.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And every day. We're averaging probably about 1,500 to 2,000 page hits a day, and you know, not too bad for a little startup site that hasn't had any national press. Thankfully, with Big Hollywood, we're now starting to get a little more exposure to the larger audiences out there.
That's so great.
And with radio shows like this is fantastic. We appreciate the opportunity to come on your shows and for you to share our music. The goal is we're trying to take back our country, and we're doing it through our gifts, our creative ability. So,
well, we thank you for all you're doing, too.
Yeah, look at what the music of the 60s did for the 60s. I mean, it's still
absolutely.
It's stuff that applies today. And it's stuff that has just a visceral response from people. I mean, you hear those songs and you know exactly what was going on. So this will be the second coming of that.
Yep. I fully expect 40 years from now that this music will be looked back upon as the music of the movement.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break just a little bit early because we have Joe Dan loitering on hold. So he's going to have to loiter with us for a couple more minutes and we'll bring you back in, buddy. Sorry. Hey, you're listening to We the People Radio with the Big Dog Music Mafia.com group right behind us here on KCNR Radio at 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
In the facts we call history, we believe we'll rewrite history.
And that, folks, is a little preview of of Joe Dan. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Hey, you're missing out if you're not dialed in, folks. You are listening to history being made. This is Patriot music, the music of the movement.
Okay, so
back to you.
We just accidentally Mike. got introduced to Joe Dan. So now tell us about this guy,
Joe Dan. Yes, he is. He's quite a character, and boy, he's a hard worker. And we've got him stashed underneath a house there. He's in a basement in Kansas City. Is that right, Joe Dan? Are you there?
Yeah, I am here, and I am delighted to be on with you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks for showing up for us.
Well, first I have to get by those bad accents you guys have. That, you know,
hey, you're outnumbered, Joe Dan. Watch it.
Yeah, but with a name like Joe Dan, you had to have an accent. I mean, come on. It'd be very anticlimactic if you came on and sounded like us.
Yeah, that's not natural.
No, it's all wrong. So,
but I want to tell you, Michael is an outstanding ambassador for the conservative music. And this is exactly what you ladies are doing. Actually, this is the second time in a couple of weeks I've been on your station out there in Reading. And I love you guys.
Well, thank you. We love what you're doing, too.
I love what you're doing. And that's how we got. That's the only way we're going to loosen the liberal death grip on the media is for you guys to keep doing what you're doing.
And we're really happy to claim Mike as our own.
Yeah, local boy makes good.
He's ours. We're going to have to share him with the world, though.
Well, Michael joined me, and we did a project together not long ago called We Will Not Submit. And it was Michael joined me, Lisa May, and oh gosh, we had like 9 different artists on there. And we just all, you know, I put the song together and everybody sang on the chorus. We actually even had Nate Smooth doing some rap on the end of it.
Yeah, and
I mean,
he was great.
Pretty cool.
Okay, so that was music lingo. What the heck did you just say? You had a guy doing what?
We had Nate Smooth. Now, Nate Smooth is...
Hip-hop.
And you're close to rap, but he's down in Southern California, L.A. area, and drives his cement truck during the day to make a living, and then he's busy working hard, working on the music.
Oh, cool. And that is America, folks. That is what America is made of.
Now he joined up with Alfonso Rachel, and they just did a really cool song. It's up now on Big Dog. It's it's I hate a politician that's a crooked politician. I can do that. But Joe Dan, your compilation work there worked out really good, and we stuck it on the Reading Tea Party video site. So everybody here, if you haven't already seen it, you can go check out that We Will Not Submit video.
Fantastic. That's right. I forgot. You told me you had video on there. So not just audio, but video. Very cool. Okay, Joe Dan, how'd you get the idea for all this stuff and getting involved in all this?
Well, you know, I think we all have a kind of a common thread of 2008. And one of the things that fired me up was when I heard, you know, when Sarah Palin was using that the heart song Barracuda, and the Wilson sisters threw a hissy fit that a conservative was using their music, and I'm like, screw them.
Again, tell us what you really think.
We don't need them.
That's funny.
I love this non-PC radio talk.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with hissy fit and screw them all in the same sentence.
Well, that's what they do. And, you know, but there is a lot of talent over there at Big Dog. I mean, every genre you can imagine. And it's not just music. You know, we got film, we got radio people, we got comics. You know, we've got painters. And, of course, we've got hillbillies with cool accents, too.
So is it all...
That's a given.
Yeah. And it's all a conservative base, right?
Absolutely. Now, it doesn't mean your material has to... You'll be waving the flag all the time,
right.
But you have to be waving the flag in your heart.
Okay.
Tell them the story. You got to be telling the story of what's going on.
There's songs you can write about, you know, patriotism. I mean, that's just a fact. And so, we, you know, conservatives can do other stuff besides, you know, singing Freedom Ain't Free with a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, we can't all wear cowboy hats. All right, Mike's giving us some smoke signals here. Okay, take it away, Mike.
We are going to listen to a good portion of or some of "I Am the Infidel" by Joe Dan Gordon.
The one that conservatives wouldn't play.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I said the word ammunition,
but only on We the People.
Conservatives that are just as big of a problem. But I'll hush.
This is banned on YouTube, but it's here in Reading.
You know, it's banned on YouTube.
Yeah. Seriously,
ooh, you heard it here first.
Ooh, cool. We love
Go Joe Dan
trends.
Dan.
I think you made your point.
You got us going here in the studio.
New favorite song.
That
all right,
is so
all right. You know,
cool.
Actually, that one was, I got a letter from Glenn Beck's, one of his managing editors, and it was the conservatives that banned that song because it had the word ammunition.
Oh.
And but it was the one that got banned by YouTube was my Muslim video called Live to Die.
Oh, I remember that figures, yeah. But what's wrong with those conservatives? Good grief. There's
wow.
a Second Amendment,
so
you know.
They're following the rules of social decorum as dictated to them by the left, and the left, they don't follow rules.
Right.
The conservatives, like idiots, do.
Yeah, sometimes we are idiots, no question about
it. I'm so glad you're a songwriter. You've got such a nice way with words.
Thank you. It's
the
accent.
Hey, and you know, a real quick thought that I had is when we were on break, I was saying, gosh, is there a compilation of, you know, all these artists' songs? But Robert does a CD of our radio show and sells them every week, so there will be a variety of this music available.
Exactly.
So that would be a market for us if we were to come up with a compilation.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Push.
So you need to come to the Reading Tea Party on Monday night because we have stuff for sale.
Yeah. And
well,
you know what?
If y'all are going to do that cross-country America tour, before then, go swing by and pick me up.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, but you're right at the end. That's not going to be very fun. What are we going to do? We have to fly east and then drive west.
No, he's in the middle.
Well,
oh, you're in the middle. Where is
Kansas?
Oh, you're in Kansas. I'm sorry. I thought we were in Maryland still. We're not in Maryland.
No, but I'm from Hazard, Kentucky, so.
Oh, there you go. Hazard, that's
don't be
perfect.
Alarmed, I can wear shoes for extended periods.
Do you know Jethro?
No.
And Patty's over here going, which one? Classic.
How many Jethros do you know?
Well, apparently Elizabeth's given up some of her breeding on this one, too. That's
I would like to make sure that everybody knows, Big Dog is a great place for everything, but there's also a little site called JodanMedia.com.
Nice.
That's JodanMedia.com. And, hey, I take tips, too.
Very.
The gift jar is open. We got some I Am
Do
the
Infidel
PayPal? T-shirts and stuff. And just trying to get the message out.
That's outstanding. I guess we all need T-shirts that say, I am the infidel, huh?
Yeah, one says, Jesus died for you. Allah wants you to die for him.
Nice. I like it.
I am the infidel.
And very good. Okay, so we're getting clues from Michael here. We need to say goodbye to Lisa.
And Jodan.
And Jodan.
And we're going to have Jeannie Hink come on. She's our public relation gal.
Great.
So
nice.
When we come back in this next segment, we'll have Jeannie and get her to tell us about her experiences as she roams around Big
Nice.
Dog.
Outstanding.
Nice. I love Jeannie, the cowgirl moon.
Cowgirl
moon. All right, guys. Well, it was a pleasure being on your show. Thank you very much.
You're awesome.
Thanks, Jodan. We're doing it again.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep, definitely.
Thanks, Jodan.
Thanks, Lisa.
Call me.
Bye.
Call me.
Thanks.
So let's see. We're going out with a clip from, it's called SOS.
By Toot Sweet. He's like in New York. This is a New York, New Yorker guy.
Nice.
And SOS means?
SOS means help. We're
sick of spending? Just like your shirt? No?
Not quite. This is distress.
Oh, okay. You're wearing an SOS shirt. All right. Okay. So you're listening to Big Dog Music, Mafia.com players here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in.
people. This is the place to be.
You were listening to Jeremy Dodge there. Whew!
Yeah, and you know, folks.
Outstanding.
Things you won't hear anywhere else, I guarantee it, you'll hear them here.
Exactly.
This is the music of the movement. We are making history.
We're bringing our grassroots music right to this grassroots radio station, and we're going for grassroots America, and I think we're going to kick butt here over the next year or two,
yeah.
You guys.
Well, I think you know, with Lisa and Joe Dan and you, and now we're going to meet Jeannie. Holy cow, this has been awesome.
Jeannie, yes, do we have you on the line?
More than I ever imagined.
Howdy!
Hi!
Right. It sure is good to meet you folks.
You too, Jeannie.
Jeannie is our radical grandma, right-wing grandma, and she's been into music, it sounds like, most of her life, and she is our public relations lady, and she kind of like chases us around on the website and makes sure that everybody feels welcome, and she leaves the nicest comments, and she's just a sweet gal, and we got her on here today, and Jeannie, tell us about your adventures there at Big Dog Music Mafia. What do you make of the whole thing?
Oh, man. Big Dog Music Mafia is a great place. I have met the most wonderful people, and people like you, Mike, and Joe Dan, and Lisa, and Big Dog himself. They're all wonderful musicians, wonderful people, and it's just great to see us uniting in such a wonderful emotional way through our music.
I agree. You are our week's culture warrior. And could you maybe, what is a culture warrior? What would that be?
A culture warrior is one who fights with culture. We open up the psychological heartstrings of America through our music and our art.
And it works, too.
It does work.
We get to hear one of your songs.
Yeehaw!
Entitled appropriately, Grandma is a Radical.
You're darn right she is. At least that's what the liberals, that was the label they gave us, so I thought, let's go with that. By golly, we'll just radical on.
Outstanding. Okay, here you are.
Grandma is a radical, she marches with a sign. Someone better stop her, cause she's getting out of line. Pelosi spoke of violence and that it could erupt. No, we can't have Grandma shouting, Congress is corrupt. Grandma says she's angry because she didn't vote for devastating changes they are shoving down our throat. She voted for transparency, but soulfully concedes she understands the nature of their downright dirty deeds. Grandma, the right-wing radical from hell, climbing up through the crack in the Liberty Bell. Grandma, the right-wing radical nut, she's taking names and kicking butts. Government elitist call her dirty names, but Grandma speaks the truth and it puts them all to shame. Progressives hate my grandma and they try to put her down while they shove our Constitution and Grandma to the ground. Grandma says she's never seen a governmental scam that forces every citizen to buy a health care plan. No one will admit it, she says it with a grin. But if I get sick, the government will surely do me in. Grandma, the right-wing radical from hell, climbing up through the crack in the Liberty Bell. Grandma, the right-wing radical nut, she's taking names and kicking butt. She's taking names and kicking butt right out of office. She's taking names and kicking butt.
Classic. I know whose theme song that is. That's Rally Sally's new theme song.
I'll send you a copy.
I think she's already gone to church, but I'll tell you what, when she hears this on the archive, I don't know about anybody else, but that's exactly who I pictured. All right, give us your thoughts. We're in the last 6 minutes, so things are going to start to go very quickly, and we've got a couple more musical clips to play, which is exciting.
Well, thank you, Jeannie, for being a radical grandma. And I, you know,
now, Jeannie, were you always
so welcome? And thank you all so much for including me in the program. It's been a wonderful program.
Thank you. This has been a blast, and you've been tearing it up on the chat for all those folks who've been on the chat room, and they're wondering who Jeannie was. This is Jeannie.
Jeannie,
that's me.
We're going to play a song by Chip Murray. Do you enjoy Chip Murray's music?
Oh, you bet. Chip's great, and so thank you all for having me on today, and I'll be listening in a lot more often.
Oh, please do. Yeah, and you guys are all coming back, because everybody's like, this is the greatest hour we've ever had.
Yeah, this has been the funnest show, no question about it.
We just need the smell of barbecue if we could pipe it through the pipe it through the airwaves.
And some fireworks
perfect.
Wouldn't hurt.
So we have a song called Independence Day by Chip Murray.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Mike, wrap up for us.
Well, I just, that kind of writing, if you listen to the lyrics, man, this guy, he knows how to write. And then he brings his music to the site, and what's he do? He goes and starts writing blogs. And so you read his blogs, and it's amazing. And he's not the only one. These people, they do music, and they write music, and they do artwork, and they're culture warriors. But they also write these blogs, and boy, they nail it on the head time after time. And I just wanted to brag a little about Chip Murray, because that's such a sweet song, and he's got more great music. All you got to do is get to Big Dog Music Mafia, cruise around, pick all your artists that you like, and support them. Listen to their music.
Oh, we're doing this again, so you better pick us out another selection. We probably need to hear more from Jeannie. Oh, and got a text message from Sally. She said, I heard it. It's me, Right Wing Granny, right on.
Hey, so do we want to take it out? A quick introduction. We've got Patty and Mike from Corning Patriot Music. We've got Chandler, our sound engineer.
Aaron and Elizabeth. It's been an awesome show. We love you all. And do we want to take it out on that
song? Going out with Walk the Streets in Anger from Anne Marie Harpin. And you've been listening to We the People Radio.
Tune
here
in next
at KCNR. Week. Tune in next week. You're here at the home of Free Fire Media.
God's hands, but somewhere we lost our way. They say this needed to happen, but for what? I don't know. I don't know my country anymore.